We're really thankful and grateful that he's fine. Again, I appreciate those of you that helped in the situation. Appreciate our nurses being ready to help, and the others that were willing to help. Steve had a stent put in this past week. His blockage was 75%. So they went in and they put in a stent in his heart, and that is stent number 4. I think he's in a race to Hal Roscoe. Hal Roscoe, Pastor Roscoe in Rochester, Chilai Bible Baptist Church. He passed away a couple years ago, but I think he had the record like 14 or 15 stents. I mean, it's like every year. Oh, another stent, another stent, another stent. To me, that's incredible, but with the way technology is today, it's amazing that they can do something like that. So keep Steve in prayer as he's healing right now. He can't drive for a little while. He can't lift anything. He's healing. And so we're just thankful. I know the family is too, but we're grateful that he's alive. And we're thankful that God is not done with him yet. And doctors were able to, I guess, fix him for now, right? That's all doctors can do. They fix us temporarily. And one of these days, we're going to get a new body. Brand new, without any flaws, without any defects, perfect, a perfect body. No sickness, no pain. We're going to go to a place where there's no crying, no cemeteries, no funeral directors. I did a graveside Friday, this past Friday. But in heaven, there is none of that. And what a blessing that is. I want to talk to you today a little bit about leading up to that time. Go to Matthew chapter 24. This has been on my heart all week, this past week. And so I developed a new message on this that I want to give you today and tonight. I believe extremely that it's pertinent for the today and age that we're living in. The title of the message is The Last Days. How many of you believe we're living in the last days or the last times? Most of us agree with that. Have you seen what's been going on lately in the world? Have you seen what's been going on lately in America? How anybody can just sit back and not even think the Lord's coming is beyond me. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the last days. Now, if you're able to stand for a little while, I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord told me to do this. So take it up with God. I'm going to read the entire Matthew chapter 24 chapter. The whole thing. If you can stand during that time, 51 verses. All you young people, get up off your... All the young people can stand. Some of us older folks may not be able to do the whole 51 verses. But I have to stand for the whole thing. No. All right. You don't need to read out loud. I'm going to read. You follow along. Please follow closely along in your Bibles, okay? This is very, very important. This message today is very important. I want you to follow along and pay close attention. If you can avoid getting up and leaving during the message, I would have really, really appreciated it. If you can sit there and be quiet, I'd really, really appreciate it. If you can sit there and not play on your phones, I'd really, really appreciate it. If you can sit there and just look at me and pay attention, I'd really appreciate it. All right, let me read Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in a desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, again for the word of God that you describe and you tell us what the end times are going to be like. Lord, I pray that as we look around this world as we see what's going on, Lord, I pray that you again would just make it clear to us that we are our time is short here upon this earth. And we have a lot of work to do, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us and bless this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture here before I even get into the actual message. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to give you some thoughts today about these last days, this last times that we're living in. 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them of them which believe and know the truth." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 20, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 7, describes 20 different things that's taking place in the last days. Tell me if some of these aren't familiar as to what's going on right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now go over to Jude, the book of Jude, just before Revelation. Jude, verses 17 through 19. Jude, there's only one chapter, verses 17 through 19. "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These they be who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." There's a lot of other scripture that we could turn to today, but for the sake of time, I just wanted to give you some of those basic scriptures that describes the last days, and I believe that they actually describe the times that we're living in now. Now, the big, huge question nobody knows the answer of is, when is Jesus coming back? We don't know the answer to that. We respond with one word, and it answers the question appropriately. It's the answer is soon. But we don't know when he's coming back. We believe in the imminency of the second coming of Christ. That means that he could come back at any time. All right? You believe that? I believe that. He could come back today. He might be back sometime today. We don't know. He might be back this week. It'd be a great week for him to come back. Every day is a great day for him to come back. We just don't know when he's coming. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to take us off guard, you might say. That's why we need to be so ready for when the Lord comes. as I said a few minutes ago, have you noticed what's been going on in the world? Have you noticed what's been going on in America? Folks, it's getting crazier by the day. Crazier. Wildfires in Hawaii and Canada. Extreme weather conditions in the South and Southwest. Wars around the world. Violence is out of control. Strange weather patterns everywhere. And it's not just because of climate control and all that other stuff. Various countries wanting to control the world. China and Russia gathering together their navy and going right up by Alaska just this past week. Threatening America with their muscles. Financial institutions going belly up. A push for a one-world government. A push for a cashless society. Flourishing conspiracy theories are everywhere. The radical left is redefining genders and marriage. It's crazy. And protesting everywhere you turn, somebody's protesting something. Almost every day there's another apocalyptic natural disaster in the news. I've heard that name, apocalyptic, several times just this past week. Have you ever wondered why this is all happening? This year there have been an endless parade of unprecedented fires, floods, earthquakes, storms, and droughts. And on Wednesday of this past week, it was Hawaii's turn. Who would have thought that Maui would have burned practically to the ground? Last year alone, 49,500 people committed suicide. In America, it's the highest suicide rate that's ever been recorded in this country. 49,500 people took their lives last year. The question is why? Why would people do that? They have a hopeless situation. They feel that their life has, there's no hope for them when they get to that point of their life. But there's an amazing amount of hope in the scriptures. And we'll look at it in a little while. As I read just a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 24, the signs of the last days, and let me clarify just a couple things. Primarily, Matthew 24 and Mark 13 are passages that correlate with one another, but they're primarily for Israel during the tribulation period. That's what those two passages are primarily for. It's for Israel. It's talking about the tribulation, the great tribulation period. We believe that soon Jesus Christ is going to come back for the church. We say the church, and that includes all saved people everywhere around the planet. And we call it the rapture, or the great catching away. And so we are looking forward to that. That's what we're looking forward to. I'm not looking for an Antichrist to come. I'm not looking for the mark of the beast. There is so much talk about what the mark of the beast is. Some people thought the vaccination of the COVID vaccine was the mark of the beast. And it was not. Please understand that. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories out there. And listen, I'll tell you right up front, and you can share with me all your conspiracy after. I don't hold, none of that to me holds water. Unless it's provable. But I'm not into all the conspiracy stuff that I hear constantly. And so in Matthew 24, it's primarily dealing with the nation of Israel during the tribulation period. You can see that. It talks about the abomination of desolation. That takes place in the middle of the tribulation. Daniel talks about that in Daniel chapter 9, I believe it is. And so Jesus is explaining to his disciples, remember, they're Jewish disciples, as to what's going to take place in the future. But there's a lot of things that lead up to the tribulation that we can glean from, and we can see that, boy, some of these things sound like it's taking place right now. For example, at least 7 men around the world today claim to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Listen to this carefully. Many have a following of devoted believers. From a retired Siberian traffic cop named Vissarion, to a cross-dressing former British spy by the name of David Shaler, these men all claim to be the Son of God. Didn't I just read to you a few minutes ago that Jesus said that's going to be one of the signs of the end times when they come and they claim to be Christ, the Messiah? These seven men around the world are living today, and they all believe that they are the Messiah. They all can't be the same Messiah. Jesus of Kitwe, Zambia, the taxi driver who was originally beaten by townsfolk for claiming to be Jesus, now says that he is even more senior to Jesus in the hierarchy of heaven. He claims to be more important than Jesus Christ himself. Near Brazil's capital, former waiter Henry Cristo gets around in a white robe topped off with a plaited white crown. His devoted female disciples, which that's pretty much what they are, who live with him in a small compound behind an electrified fence, push him around on a fringed red satin platform on wheels. Norwegian photographer Jonas Bendiksen has traveled the world photographing these different Jesuses, as they're called, in England, Brazil, Russia, South Africa, Zambia, Japan, and the Philippines. He has found them all. He has captured Jesus Matoyoshi of Japan, a former politician, standing atop of a minivan amid Tokyo's commercial heart, claiming, calmly spreading his gospel. Bendixson's photographed the bling of South Africa's Lord of Lords, Moses Halangwani, who wears a baseball cap embellished with yellow satin. Moses, who uses his disciples' welfare payments to fund his Jesus compound in KwaZulu Natal town, last year married one of his young disciples, of course. Bendixson's book, The Last Testament, published by Aperture and GOST, I don't know what that means, tells each man's story and publishes their individual gospels. Bendixson says the writings of the Apostle Paul in the first century make it clear that he expected Jesus to return in his own lifetime. Since then, many have claimed to be Jesus. They've all come forward. Folks, Jesus said, if somebody comes around saying they're him, don't believe it. They're not him. They don't have any, these people don't have any of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listen, let me say this very clearly. Because you might struggle with someone. You might think, well, maybe that one of them might be Jesus. When Jesus shows up, you will know that it's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. There'll be no question. You won't, is that Jesus? You will know specifically when he shows up. There will be no doubt in your mind. You don't have to question it. Because when he comes, you will know it. And the entire earth will know it. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, every Christian is going to know that that's Jesus Christ. You don't have to sit there or stand here on the earth and say, I wonder if I should go or not. He's going to be in the clouds and he's coming. Not a thing to worry about. When he comes and gets us, we're leaving. Praise God for that. I don't know about you, but I want out of this world. It's getting too crazy for this old guy. Either death or the rapture, I'll take either one. Because it's a win-win situation. Praise the Lord. The National Earthquake Information Center now locates about 20,000 earthquakes around the world every single year. That's about 55 every single day. Earthquakes all over the place. It's incredible. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, and I quote this article, according to long-term records since about 1900, we expect about 16 major earthquakes in any given year. That includes 15 earthquakes in the magnitude 7 range and one earthquake magnitude around 8 or greater. In the past 40 to 50 years, our research records shows that we have expected the long-term average, they've exceeded the long-term average number of major earthquakes about a dozen times. The year with the largest total was 2010, with 23 major earthquakes, greater than or equal to a magnitude of 7. In other years, the total was well below the annual long-term average of 16 earthquakes. In 1989, there was only 6 major earthquakes, and in 1988, only had 7. But the Bible says there's going to be earthquakes. Nation shall rise against nation. Have you heard of the war with Russia and Ukraine? It's been going on now for about a year and a half almost. And there's other nations rising up against other nations. China hates our guts. Russia hates our guts. Muslims hate our guts. We are considered the big Satan to every jihadist Muslim in the world. Israel is the little Satan. What they want to do is eliminate us. They want to eliminate America. Russia and China are going together right now to figure out a way how can they eliminate the United States of America. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you think. But for them to have their little game up there by Alaska and getting very close to the country is a sign of what's going on right now. This past week that took place. Now, maybe I'm scaring you a little bit, and I don't mean to scare you. The Bible also talks about not only nations rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, but how about famines? I hear about famines all over the world. How about pestilences? You know what a pestilence is? Webster defines a pestilence as this. Let me give you his quote, and I'm going to quote you. Webster says this, specifically the disease known as the plague, hence any contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but that means extremely poisonous, very active in doing injury, and devastating. Virulent, is that how you say that word? Virulent? Close enough, right? Close enough for this guy. Do you know how many viruses there are in the world today? There's around 220 viruses that attack humans all the time. From what I read. I could be wrong, ladies, nurses, doctors in the room. I know we got doctors and nurses all over the place. You think you are anyway, right? But I read that there's 220 different serious viruses that could attack you and me anytime, day or night. Isn't that wonderful to know that? But the Bible says pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. I said 20,000 a year all around the globe. There are earthquakes taking place. Now, I said all of that to say this. Since all of this is happening and we see this and hear this constantly, we just came out of a pandemic. Remember that? Or have you forgotten that already? Lest we forget, right? What we just came through. Over 1 million people died in that. I have pastor friends that died in that. You had relatives and family members and people that maybe died from that pandemic. Some people got extremely sick because of the coronavirus, and others didn't. It barely affected Kathy and I. Barely affected us. I don't even know if we had it. I don't know why, but some of you in here got really sick from it and spent weeks and months suffering from it. Well, considering all of this, let me give you some things that we need to do. Write these down, please, if you can, if you will. In light of everything I just given you, that was the introduction, now the message. Number one, salvation. Now, let me just say this nicely. If you're not saved, why not? Why not? If you're not saved, this is no time to wait. There's no time to wait to be saved. You should never sit around and say, well, you know, I'm young. We got some young people in the room. I'm young. I'm a teenager. I'm a young adult. I'm in the 20s, 30s, whatever. It's no time for anybody to wait. Now, you might look at this old guy at 69 years old up here behind the pulpit and say, well, he should have been saved a long time ago. And I was. I got saved when I was 17. And yes, for us old timers, yeah, I don't have as long on this planet as you do, young people. All right, I'm just giving you the facts. My days upon the earth are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. All of us over 50 fall into that category, right? I mean, our days here are getting measured out, and it's not going to be too much longer for many of us. If you're saved, that's good news. Amen. That's good news. But how many young people do you hear of dying too? Accidents, diseases, things. It may not be intentional on your part, but people of all ages die all the time. All ages die all the time. If you're not saved, I would not wait any longer. I would get saved today before you leave this parking lot. I wouldn't wait any longer. Today needs to be your day of salvation if you're not truly born again, if you're not saved. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, I just read some things, showed you some things from the Bible, and I gave you some facts of things out there in the world that's going on. We are living in crazy times, and it's getting crazier by the day. It's no time to wait to get saved. No time to put it on the back burner and wait till I get older. You may never reach older. If you have been told about salvation, or if you are hearing this for the first time, don't wait any longer. I beg you, don't wait any longer. Don't put it off another day. Don't say, I'll get saved next week. Oh, next week I'll come to church and get saved. Do you have any guarantees you'll see next Sunday?
No.
Nobody has a guarantee to see tomorrow. I don't know if we'll be back here tonight. The Lord could come this afternoon, or you or I might die this afternoon. That is fact. Get saved now if you're not saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you don't know you're a sinner, then you're too young to understand what sin is. But all of us know in here that we're sinners. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know why Jesus died on the cross? He didn't come do it because it was just a fun thing for Him to do. One day He says, You know what, Father, I'm going down to the earth and I'm going to live this life. And they're just going to nail me to the cross and I'm going to die. What do you think? Is that, hey, you find it fun? No! You know that's foolishness. He was sent here by God the Father because He loves you so much. And He came to this earth because He loves you so much. And they nailed Him to a cross because He loves you so much. He suffered and bled and died because He loves you and me so much. Did He die for every human being in the world? Yes. Every human being. Did He die for you? Yes, He did. He didn't die for a select group, just a few over here. You know, He died for these people. No. And didn't die for these. No. He died for every single person on the planet. Doesn't matter what country they're from, what color their skin is. Doesn't matter what. None of that. He died for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. When He was hanging on that cross, and I don't understand it, and I can't figure it all out, but when He was hanging on that cross, I think that He had me and you in his heart, His mind, His soul, I don't know. But every sin that you've ever committed and I've ever committed was nailed to Him that day. Every sin. There's not a person in this room that can count all their sins. I don't care how young you are. You young people in here, you've sinned. These cute little kids, cute little babies, or nursery. Those cute little nursery kids back there. They've sinned. They probably sinned this morning. You may have also today. Just by having a weird thought, you sinned. The thought of foolishness, the Bible said, is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wow. You know you should do something good and you don't do it. Right there you sinned. You see how serious this is? Sin is so serious, it nailed Jesus to the cross and He suffered and bled and died. And God the Father had to turn His back, turn His whole being away from His Son for 3 hours when Christ was hanging there and had every sin put upon Him. Talks about a cup being poured out upon Him. I believe that in that cup held every sin of the entire world, and it just was placed upon Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only one way to be saved. And it's not through the Baptist church. It's not through Pastor Fenton or some other pastor, priest, pope, potentate, whatever. It's through Jesus Christ. I have not died for you, and I will not die for you. I'm sorry. Now, if I have to, you know, jump in front of a bullet for you, I might do that for my wife. Would I do that for you? Maybe. Or push you out of the way of the big truck coming down the road. I wouldn't want to experience the pain of that. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to say this, and I mean this. There's no excuse. If you die and go to hell, no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. You can't ever shake your fist or point your finger at God and say, I didn't know, because I just told you how to be saved. The Bible has told you how to be saved. If you've been to any number of church services here, you've been told how to be saved. If you die without Jesus Christ, I'll say this too, and I don't mean to sound brash, but it's not my fault. And it's not the fault of Seneca Bible Baptist Church. You leave this planet without Christ, it's not our fault. We've told you how to be saved. So if you're not saved, how come? Why not? Why wait? Well, I got my life to live. Well, why don't you live your life with Christ? Amen. There's really not a better life to live. Can you really explain to me a better life to live that's without God? There is not a good life. You can't live a good life without God. All right, number one is salvation. Number two, in light of all these things that I've been telling you today, there's, again, some things we need to do. First of all, you got to get saved. And number two, soul win. Soul win. What does it mean to soul win? Well, there's a lot of different avenues that we could go with soul win. Passing out tracts is a good way to win souls. These little cards are great. On the back, there's a take your little smartphone that's smarter than you. You scan that little QR code and you've got 14 minutes of the plan of salvation. Narrated and given by Caleb Garraway. How many of you have seen the video? Many of us. Fantastic. Give these out. I just got another 1,000 in a couple of weeks ago. They're so good that I give them out as my card now. I went and saw the attorney this week. Guess what I gave him? Well, let me leave you my card. Because he gave me his. I went and I saw an engineer this week. I says, he gave me his card. Guess what I gave him? He said, well, let me leave you with mine. And they always say, oh, thank you. Because it's just a business card. But on here, it's got the plan of salvation in it. Or maybe you don't have these, but you could always pass out some gospel tracts. These are kind of cute, aren't they? Some of you need this smiley face right here. Where's it? Yeah, I don't know what happened to that. Anyway, you can give out gospel tracts. These are really good to do, obviously. You can invite somebody to come to church with you. Because when somebody comes to church, they're going to hear the plan of salvation somehow, some way, sometime during the message, right? What are some other ways of soul win? How about witnessing to people? You come across somebody and you can use all different kinds of tactics that you want. There are thousands of ways to start a conversation with somebody. Anything. You could use any kind of conversation starter that you want. Be creative in your conversation with people. And you could bring up the subject somehow. Maybe they would bring it up themselves, but you could bring it up. But here's the question that I have for all of us, including me. Do we care about other souls, really? I'll tell you what, what you do with gospel tracts, what you do with witnessing, what you do with church attendance shows how much it's an importance to you. The question is, and please don't say anything out loud, but how many tracts did you pass out this past week? How many cards did you give out? How many invitations did you get to somebody come to church? See what I'm saying? Is it really that important to us? People dying without Christ, is it that important to us? The world is dying and going to hell. And eventually, according to the Word of God, they'll be put into the lake of fire. That's serious. That's eternal. That's eternity. So are we doing anything for the kingdom of God? Are we trying to get enlistments into the kingdom of God? Are we trying to get people? Are you praying for somebody to be saved? Do you pray for lost people? Do you pray for saved people? Do you pray at all? Good questions. There's not much more time for us, folks. I really believe that our time is short. I shared a whole bunch of scriptures with you at the start of this, and I believe that our time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. We may be at 11:59. We may be that close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't have a lot of time to do the job that Jesus gave us to do. Called the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God told us, Jesus told us what to do and when to do it. When is all the time. What is to spread the gospel, the good news? We all come in contact with people that need the gospel message. Yes? Yes. The third thing that we need, number one, salvation. Number two, soul win. Number three, spirit filling. We need a spirit filling. We need a filling of the Holy Spirit living in these last days. How in the world can any of us survive this craziness that we see and we hear without the filling of the Holy Spirit? I hear some of this crazy stuff out there. I mean, it's getting crazier and crazier. And I shake my head and I say, God, how do you deal with this? How can you deal with this nonsense that's out there? When I hear there's over 50 different genders now that people are... I said, Lord, you know what? I hate to say this. I don't mean to sound weird, but when I hear things like that, I smile because I know the truth. There's two, male, female. That's it. When I hear that people are going to school now claiming to be cats, this is serious. Where they put litter boxes in schools now in the bathrooms for kids because I feel like a kitty today. Meow. And they go and expect to be treated as a cat. Or a dog. This is reality. When I went to school, God forbid somebody came in feeling like a cat. But that was a long time ago. Jim, be good. I never saw a litter box in any of the bathrooms where I went to school. But they're doing it today. Because we don't want to offend anybody. We can't offend them. We have to do all of this stuff for all these people. If they feel like this, we have to give in to them. And it's getting crazier and crazier by the day. Folks, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, that is the only way we're going to get through this day and age that we're living in. Is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? I mean, really fill you? Not to get you to do some weird thing and bounce around and do somersaults and cartwheels. No, we're not talking. We're talking about just a godly filling of the Holy Spirit. So you can be the testimony that you need to be, that you can stay away from the sin that you need to stay away from, so you're not involved in the craziness of this world. Just being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that the Bible commands us to do. Paul said to the Ephesian church. We covered it last week here in church in one of the services. In Ephesians chapter 5, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives within you anyway as a saved person. Now we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that. Look at Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to cut myself short here because I'm running out of time. We're going to finish this tonight. So I have several other things that we're going to look at. Galatians 5, but I'm giving you the most of the meat of this anyway. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." So we have the flesh versus the Spirit. And the one that you feed the most is the one that's going to win. The one that you feed the most is the stronger of the two. You feed your flesh all the time with your television and with your computers and with your devices and with your thoughts. And you just keep filling yourself up with all of the fleshly things. That's what's going to control you in your life. But when you allow yourself to be controlled by the Spirit of God, that's what will control you. We've got to live this Christian life in this day and age. Now, I know we complain about the day and age we're living in, but listen, Paul lived in a weird, strange day also. Do you know there's nothing new under the sun? The same things that we're going through today, do you know that the Apostle Paul went through the same things? Do you know that Jesus went through the same things? Let's go back. Do you know Moses went through the same things? Do you know that Lot went through those same things? That Noah went through those same things? Folks, since the beginning of creation, man has been sinful and done all of these things that we think about and see today. How do they get by? I don't hear them complaining a whole lot about it. I see that they're doing something about it. They simply live for Jesus no matter what. That's what we need to do. What do we do, Pastor? Live for Jesus. How do we live in this day and age? Live for Jesus. How can we cope and how can we get through this day and age that we're living in? Be filled with the Spirit. That's it. No big secret, no big mystery. It's pretty simple when you really look at it. Take the Word of God as it's written and just do what the Bible says. We're living in the last days, folks. Jesus is coming back very, very soon. Maybe today. Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know for sure? If the trumpet should sound today and all of a sudden all these Christians around you are gone, then you weren't saved. You're about ready to enter into the tribulation period. And according to Matthew chapter 24, there's never been a time like that, and there'll never be a time like that. It's the worst time in the history of man, the tribulation period. Am I scaring you? Good. Good. Because you need to be saved if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Was there a time, a specific time, that you trusted Jesus Christ? You admitted the fact that you're a sinner, because that's why you've got to admit that the fact that you're a sinner. You must believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And you must confess Him. You must ask Him. You must call upon Him. You must say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I believe that You died for me on the cross. I believe that You shed Your blood for me, Lord. I'm calling and asking You to save me the best way I know how. I want You to save my soul. The publican just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How about it? Are you saved today? Okay, you're saved. Great. Hallelujah. Well, now what do you do? Better start living for Jesus. You better get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because crazier times are coming. I really believe that we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get crazier and crazier until Jesus comes. We need a filling of the Holy Spirit in order for us to get along in these days. Father, thank You for the message today. I pray that You speak to every heart that's in this room. You know who's saved and You know who isn't. God, if there's somebody in this room that's not saved, I pray that they would get saved today before it's too late. Lord, maybe there's somebody listening online today that's not truly born again. I pray that they would be saved today. Except the man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God, You said. And Lord, I pray for the Christians that are here and listening that You would help us to know the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The only way that we're going to get through these days that we're living in is to be filled with the Spirit and to live for You. Help us, Lord, with that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation. Simply means that we invite you to come if you need to come. If you're not saved, we want to show you how you can be saved.